See, now I know it's official. We're official. All right. I think I'm going to start. Today was a great example. Many of you weren't here. Some of you were, of what the message is about today. We had a baptism. We had three baptisms today. We had two a couple weeks ago. And basically, the message is in trusting in God. And when you do a baptism, like we saw, it's an example of trusting in God and about surrendering to the will of God. And surrender is probably, like I was saying earlier, when we were doing the baptism, is the hardest thing for us to do. It really is. It's a challenging. Everything inside us wants to push against that. We just become so independent, especially in this country. I think of other countries where they're more dependent on God because they have nothing. It's actually easier, I think, for them to have more dependence in God than it is for us who have so much. We're so blessed and we have so much. And so we can become self-reliant. We think we can do it all on our own. We can do it all on our own. And to surrender that and say, you know what, I can't do this all on my own is a huge, huge thing. And so what we saw is people go down in water saying that they're surrendering their life to God. And that takes some real trust. And we're going to go through a lot of scripture that talks about some awesome things that happen when we trust God. And that's what the message is about, and I think it's going to go really well with the baptism today. And so I just pray for everybody that got baptized that this is not just a ritualistic type of thing, that this is a real thing. It's a thing of surrender. It's a thing of trusting in God, having faith in God in a way that you never did, having your eyes open like they've never been open before. So I just pray for that for everybody that did that. All right. Sometimes when I stand up here, I have some weird thoughts beforehand. And this, I've heard teachers talk about this before, like saying that they want to, Mr. Emmett can probably say this, you go into class and you feel unprepared. You feel unprepared. And so sometimes before I come up here, I think, well, what if I didn't have this book? I'm a what if guy. That's my part of my worries. I'm a fearful guy at times. And so the fear creeps in and says, what if? What if I don't have this Bible? What if I forget my notes that I wrote about? Could I stand in front of you and still give a word of testimony and his word that he presents? And that takes real trust to do that. And it's a scary thing. And it's scary in a lot of different reasons because I'm not scared for myself. I'm scared to say the wrong words and lead you the wrong way. And that puts an extraordinary pressure on people who stand up in front of you and say that type of thing. So there's a lot of, but then I have to talk to myself and I have to pray and I have to tell God, like, I trust you. I trust that even if I come up here and my preparation is not here, that everything's going to work out the way you wanted it to work out. And that's what I'm going to talk about. It's like a true trust in God. God asks, it's funny because we're going to be going through some Bible things where God asks people to do some really strange stuff. Not normal stuff. And you're going to see that these people end up trusting God enough that they do those strange things. And then some incredible things happen through that calling, right? So we're going to go through that. And God really impressed on me that with the way the world is changing and challenging us, that the theme of this year, the theme, I'm kind of setting a tone for this year, that God is really impressed on me is that we got to trust God. We got to trust God. The last couple of years have been challenging, to say the least, okay? But it's still not as challenging it is as in third world countries, right? But it is challenging. And we do see a trend that kind of irks at our hearts as believers, doesn't it? Do you feel like a little irking there? A little something isn't quite right. Maybe we're not following the path that we were once on. Things are off. And so those things are happening in the past couple of years, and they're not going to change, really. I keep hearing this new normal. This is the new normal. You order something, it's going to take longer to come in. There's going to be items that you can't even get. There is all this chaos kind of going in that type of fashion. We were so spoiled. You could go down to a car dealership and look at a car, and there'd be like 20 different types of cars there. And you could just take it, and that day you could drive out with it. That isn't happening today. Some people are ordering them and waiting a long time, 3-4 months before they come in. I know people that have waited for washers and dryers for 6 months to come in. So things aren't the way they used to be, right? It's the new normal. The new normal. That's what they're telling us, right? And so do we have trust in God through the new normal is going to be the question, right? How we face these upcoming battles not only determines how our lives will look and be, but also the people around us, including family, friends, acquaintances, people we do not even know, who we don't even know. They're looking to us to see how we're going to handle the new normal, right? They're looking to us. They want to see, are you as faithful as you say you are, Reggie? Are you? Am I? And God has always given us words to prepare us. I see this over and over again. And trusting him is the word of today. He's preparing us. He's saying, you may face some things that you don't want to face, but trust me, I will walk you through it. I will walk you through it. I'm going to take this circumstance and I'm going to turn it to good. But that takes some surrender on our part. He doesn't just flip a switch and everything's good for us, right? It takes surrender, listening, prayer, diligence to really hear what he's telling us, to really understand which path he wants us to go on. And that's where the good comes from. That's where the good comes from. If we don't do that, then we're not going to experience what we could experience, right? We're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. And I don't want anybody in here to miss out. And I definitely don't want to be missing out. This world is a struggle as it is. I don't need any extra struggle in my life. I really don't. We have a major issue with trust, though, in this country. We have a major issue with trust. Major issue. We've all experienced betrayal in our lives by people we know and love in the past. There isn't a single person here that hasn't gotten burned. I'm pretty sure about that. Have any of you told something in confidence to someone only to find out that they went out, discussed it with somebody else, and then all of a sudden it comes back to you from 5 people down the road? It happens. Have you ever asked someone to help for help only to be turned down or had a day and time set up and then they didn't show up? Anybody have that happen to them? You were trusting that they were going to be there. You were trusting somebody that would step up and come help you. Maybe you're the type of person that helps everybody. And you're there for them all the time. And the one time you ask somebody to come help you, Maybe they didn't show up. Maybe they said they couldn't help. Have you ever believed in someone to have your best interests at heart, only to find out they were really trying to tear you down so that they look better? Anybody do that? Anybody know people that are jealous of you and love to kind of stab you a little bit just to kind of put you down so that they look better? Takes the attention off of that person. These are things that happen, right? Ever needed comfort from someone and they were clueless and all they did was talk about themselves? Man, I hear a lot of laughing that way, right? Right? People love to tell you all of their problems, but when you're trying to talk to them, they're not listening. These are all things that are interfering with trust in our souls, right? We're saying, how can we trust? Maybe a promise has been made multiple times and that promise keeps getting broken, right? I'm going to change. This is the day that I'm not going to do that anymore. I promise you. I promise you I'm not going to do that no more. And then all of a sudden they're doing it and they're hurting you again.
What about the promises we make to ourselves?
That's a great point. What about the promises to ourselves? That we can't even trust ourselves. That's a good point. Sometimes it's hard to trust yourself. Your needs are always second fiddle to other people's needs. Maybe there's a promise that has been made multiple times and it keeps getting broken. The list goes on and on. Maybe you had trust in your parents, your brother, your sister, your fellow churchgoers, friends, coworkers, and others, only to be let down. Anybody relate to that? Can anybody relate to that? Does that cause problems with your trust? Of course it does. Of course it does. It influences you. It influences you. We experience these types of situations throughout our life, and we get jaded and skeptical. Every time that happens, something happens to us. We get a little bit more like, I don't know if I can trust that person. Even people you love and are very close, you're like, there's always a little bit of, a little standing there. Not sure. We can let our experiences in this life start to trickle into our trust in God. Right? If we can't trust people that we know, how about somebody you don't see? Maybe somebody you don't hear like a voice from God saying, Reggie, go to the left. What if you don't hear that like that? And how does that affect your trust? Now, one thing about becoming a believer is you start to hear God like you never heard God before. You don't hear that auditory thing, but you know what he's telling you. There's a direct contact from him to your brain, if you want, to your heart, if you want. But that means removing some restrictions. Terrible things happen in our lives that we felt God should have prevented, not allowed or changed. Anybody ever have that? And we thought something should have happened a certain way. And so that pushes our trust from God. Our thoughts and how we feel circumstances should go or do not go challenge our trust in God. But God does not lie. He doesn't lie. And he does not go against what's written in his book. He doesn't. When it says that a Messiah's son will be born in Bethlehem by a virgin, that's what happens. That's what happens. Right? That's how it works. We have a habit of reading something in his word and make up promises we feel that he's making to us, when that does not happen, we're disappointed in him and question him and our faith. So let me say this, right? So we make up things out of the Bible. We put a little twist, right, into what we're reading sometimes. And then we create an expectation that God is supposed to fulfill our twist, that we added on to something that we read. And then when we take that twist and it doesn't happen, we're disappointed, saying God is not fulfilling his word, right? So it says your prayers will be answered, right? Your prayers will be answered. And that's true, as long as it's according to his will, right? So if it's not to his will, he's not going to answer that prayer. He's not lying when we pray and all of a sudden we don't get the answer we're looking for, right? It's according to his will. Nowhere in the book does he promise an easy life. Nowhere. I mean, maybe it's in there, but I haven't read it. He does not promise an easy life, even after becoming a believer. He does not assure us that every prayer we pray for is going to get answered every time in the way we want it answered. Right? It's not going to happen. That's not the way it works. He doesn't say that. No matter how we want to read it and take one little part of scripture and apply it to what we want, it just is not the way it works. He doesn't promise perfect health. He doesn't promise the best family members or friends. Anybody have a family member that's tough to deal with? Anybody have a friend that sometimes you don't want to be their friend? It happens to all of us. He doesn't promise the perfect job, right? He doesn't promise that. Not the ideal job that you want. He doesn't promise it's going to be from 8 to 4, Monday through Friday, every day. He doesn't promise that. So does that affect your trust in him? Does that mean that you don't pray that you want that? Of course. We got to pray, but it's going to be according to his will. Everything he allows or blesses occurs because it's in line with his will and in accordance with his purpose and his plan, right? If it's going against his plan, he's not going to say, Reggie, I'm going to answer that just because it's going to make you feel good. He's not going to do that, right? Sometimes he puts me in a position that hurts. That's scary. That's challenging. That I don't want to do. But the reason he does that is to fulfill his plan. His plan. And what's his plan? His plan is to make believers and disciples, right? To help each other, look after each other, and glorify him, right? That's the plan. It ain't too complex. That's the plan. So if it isn't lining up to do one of those things, then it may be out of your request and shouldn't affect your trust in him. Because the one thing about God is he's going to lead you the best way. You can go off the best way. He's allowing you to do that. the choice is yours. You're going to have to suffer some consequences because of that. But he wants you to go the best way. That's why this book is written. Not a book to pound you, but a book to help you. To help you avoid unnecessary hurt. He doesn't want you to hurt. When you hurt, he hurts. He watches our decisions. He sees us make bad decisions. He sees what kind of suffering we go through. And that bothers him because he doesn't want you to have to go through that. He doesn't. You need a mic. Yeah, you do. Doesn't matter if you want it or not, you're going to get it. That's the good thing about being a leader.
Yeah.
Well, they can't hear it on Zoom.
All right. I was watching an interview with John Boyd, who I was astounded to find out is a really big Christian. And in this interview, he found himself on his knees because his life was falling apart. He wasn't getting the roles. His wife left him. His kids weren't talking to him. And he's like, what am I doing wrong? And he said he heard in his ear, life isn't supposed to be easy. And even though you find yourself in hard times, I will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what led him to God. Yeah. And whenever anything happens to him now, he just thinks it doesn't matter because he's with me now.
Yes.
So, I mean,
yeah.
It's not supposed to be easy. No. He's teaching us lessons.
Yeah.
And the world will have trouble, but I.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about, right? Much of our lack of trust occurs because of misinterpretation of what the word says, expanding on it, what it says, believing we know better than God. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have all fallen prey to these thoughts at some point, right? We have. We think we know best. That's how we're built. Trusting in God is challenging, and it requires surrender. And as I said, surrender is the toughest thing, especially for the Northeast people. Boy, we are stubborn. We are so stubborn. So let's get to some examples, right? There's all kinds of examples of what can happen when we don't listen to God, right? I can tell you a bunch of, or trust in God. I can tell you a bunch of stories about that. We're not going there today. We're not going there today. And it's not good. It's not good. When you go against what God personally is telling you, and you know what he's telling you, and you go against that, bad things happen. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. It leads to a lot of problems. But we're not going to focus on that today. What we're going to talk about today is seeing how when we surrender to God's will and trust him, it brings us joy. And it brings joy to him that always leads to blessings of happiness to us. And so, now happiness to us, okay? That doesn't mean we're always going to get some extra blessing on top of that. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. Sometimes when we give a little extra, all of a sudden, God says, you know what? I saw your faithfulness. I saw your faithfulness, and I'm going to give you something back. And that's an extra blessing, okay? That doesn't happen every time. That doesn't mean when you tithe your 10%, and you put in 12%, that all of a sudden, God's going to give you 15%. Now, that can happen, and it has happened. I've heard stories of it. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. And having that thought that if I do this, I'm going to get that is a bad thought. That's not the purpose. That is not God's will. When I read this book, I see multiple examples of God asking people to do very strange actions. We talked about that. And when those people are faithful, incredible things happen. Miracles and blessings. Miracles and blessings. Those are extra. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. You say, well, why does one miracle happen and one doesn't happen? That can really hang you up. That can really hang you up. It's up to him. He's sovereign. He does what he wants. He does. All right, let's start with Noah. Genesis 6, 4, 14, we're going to start with. Now, this is, we're going to go through a whole bunch of scripture. We're going to kind of go through it pretty quickly here from this point on. So in it, it says, build a large boat from cypress wood. Now, listen to his specific instruction, okay? It's very specific. And really, does this whole thing work if Noah doesn't follow those instructions? Okay? He's very specific because he's looking out for Noah and his family. Okay? And in order for that to work, he's got to pay attention to the specific instructions, and he has to do that. That's where the success comes from. Okay? From cypress wood. And waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof, all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side. And build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, upper. Right? That's the instructions you get, right? Those are specific instructions, right? And you're thinking, this is to be building this big boat in a desert. In a desert, right? They'd